Welcome back to season two. We are so grateful for your continued support and for those new to the podcast. We look forward to sharing our Getting Dirty and Growing Strong stories with you. Where the Lotus Grows is an entirely listener-supported show. Supporting us is also designed to support you through keeping the growth flowing and also through rewards like guided meditations, personal affirmations, and extended behind-the-scenes content of our adventures in podcasting. Hop over and visit patreon.com/wherethelotusgrows and become a supporting member of the Courageitarian community.
Where the Lotus Grows, where the Lotus Grows.
Courageitarians, getting dirty and growing strong.
Hi, Courageitarians. Welcome back. Today, Tanya and I are going to talk about mindful tips for the holidays. I don't know about you, Tanya, but I can even feel it from my clients where this anxiety starts to build up as people start to anticipate the holidays and seeing family members that they haven't seen in for a while.
I think it's happening for all of us. And seeing people or even making the choice not to see people. And just in general, I think there's even before COVID and all of these things, there is that tad bit of anxiety that comes with all of the things of doing it right, right? Whatever it is for your tradition and your family. And then you add that to a little seasonal affective disorder and, you know, just it being dark all the time and cold in most places. It just makes for a perfect storm, I guess.
And then a side of pandemic on top of it, right? Because I hear my clients not only talking about what traditions do they want to keep going in the family, but the overscheduling part with the season change. But I also hear them having discussions of, you know, do we mask? Who's all, is everybody vaccinated, not vaccinated? Like, you know, where are those boundaries going to be? And so it's a lot to think about, and you don't want to offend anyone. And you also haven't seen people in so long that you're, you know, longing for that connection too. And so I think it's difficult to find where your balance point's going to be for the holiday.
No, I agree. And adding on top of that, I think year one pandemic stress is different than year two pandemic stress, because now we're in a situation where, geez, we really wish this was over already. Like, we have to do this again. So that's there too. Like, there's that additional fatigue of, man, I was really hoping after, you know, New Year's 2021 that, well, at least next Christmas we'll all be able to get together, or we'll all be able to X, Y, and Z. So I think that that's interesting too. Also, like you said, the pandemic mixed on top, I think for people, even traditions of practicing faith can be interrupted by that and are different. So I think, you know, that's something to think about too.
Decisions this year, I mean, because I'm having surgery right after the holiday, and so
right,
I had to determine, like, what level do I want to risk getting any sort of illness, whether it be the flu or COVID or what it be, before, because I can't miss my window of opportunity for surgery. So, you know, it's a lot riding on.
Yeah, and at the same time, when you're going to have something major done, like that is when you want to be more supported by your people.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It's kind of rough. It's a double-edged sword, because you don't want to be. So as we talk about all of the different things, and one of the other things I think, you know, just in general with family gatherings, one of the other things that if you do choose to gather, maybe be a little bit more of gathering with people who don't necessarily fit in your group of like-minded individuals. So, you know, because we don't get to pick our family, like we get to pick our friends. that can cause a lot of stress too. If you know you're going to be around that one uncle that just wants to harass you about whatever, you know, how, what, seeing people that aren't necessarily like, yes, you want to see them, but also what does that mean to interact in that way? And so as we start with the tips and tricks, I think both of you, both of us, both you and I had setting good boundaries and, yeah, and intentions for what you want as a big piece of it.
And you know, and I want to say, like, it's not selfish. You're not being difficult. I think it's really important to get grounded and determine what your boundaries are going to be for you. Mm-hmm. And then just being okay and going with that. And, you know, it's okay if people are a little perturbed or a little put off. I mean, that's their stuff. It's not your stuff.
And, yeah. No, I agree.
I know, so when I would go home, Nick would remind me, remember, you're the most mindful one in your family and you work hard at it. And mm-hmm. You had given me the gift of just remember, not everybody has the current download. And, you know,
yeah, like some people are running on old software.
Yeah. And those things were important to remember because, you know, not everybody is going to get where you are in life, how you're living your life, or where you are in your stage of healing, mm-hmm. from your role that you typically play in the family. And so I think it's important to, you know, to have a friend or somebody that you can kind of talk to about that kind of stuff.
Well, and you know what? Let's be 100% honest. It is not, like, you can't expect even your loved ones and your family to be 100% on it all the time either. Do you know what I mean? So for example, you going through surgery and cancer treatments, there is a chance that somebody could say something off that might seem off-putting to you that they didn't even cross their mind because they're not anticipating those things. And it's okay. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like our part of it in owning our boundaries is also being accepting to the fact that not everybody puts as much thought, like you said, not everybody got the latest download, but not everybody puts as much thought into something that's going to think of you first, or right, to be mindful of what your experience is, because they don't know any more than you know what somebody else's experience is.
Yeah, and so give that grace. Family members all the mm-hmm. time. You might not talk to them all the time. So I think it's a good point. Like they don't know what's going on with you and you don't know what's going on with them, but it's also, you know, they don't have to tell you either if they don't want to.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that I had down is it's okay to say, I'm not talking about that right now. Yeah. And it could be your diet, your relationship, politics, your opinion, a sports game, you know. You yeah. determine what your triggers are in your family, and it's okay to put up a boundary around it, especially if it's something that you're working on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When what I wrote down as we had talked about this topic is to write it down ahead of time. So if you sit down with what is my intention for this visit, for this, you know, event, maybe you do something every year, is my intention to be mindful, be careful, not talk about these things. What would my reaction be if somebody brought up, let's use something innocuous. Let's say, because we're recording this before Thanksgiving, there's all kinds of big football games going on. Let's just say that your boundary, to keep it innocuous, is you're a really big Detroit Lions fan. And somebody is going to talk some smack about how much the Lions suck. Well, despite it being true, you can set the boundary ahead of time. If you know that you're, I don't know who they're playing because I don't pay attention to sports, but if you know that your uncle is a fan of the rival team, Uncle Bob, you know, harsh my mellow over this game. And if it's something, like you said, I'm not going to discuss it. If it's something of, I could leave the room, I could change the subject, like, planning ahead of time can be really helpful. And if your intention before you go to this visit is to see your family, positively or to you know, have a good experience, if that's your intention before you go. Sometimes I think we can set intentions of, this is going to be terrible, I'm not going to like this, I'm going to be miserable, and then that's what happens. And so if maybe you take a moment and set the intention, then you have a little bit more control over how you react with said boundary, like you said. What else do you got?
You can't control other family members. So if you already know what their knee jerk is, or you know where the sticking point is, yes, you can absolutely set an intention for not allowing it to get underneath your skin. And I, you know, sometimes you can find humor with it more, right? Like you can just be like, oh yeah, I need
absolutely.
To say that. You know, kind of like when you watch a movie and you can predict what's going to happen next, and then you joke that you wrote the screenplay for it. You can kind of do that with the same thing with your family interactions.
I agree.
Your holiday gatherings.
And other stressful.
Joke about it.
Absolutely. And other stressful holiday events. As you were saying that, I was thinking about, we just did family photos with a couple of toddlers, and it was a disaster. But we had a really good sense of humor about it. It was like, well, at least we got three pictures out of the hundreds that we took. The idea of having the humor, and the idea that holiday stress isn't always around family. Maybe it's around shopping. Maybe it's like, I'm going to give myself permission to walk out of the store if I feel overwhelmed, if it's too much for me. You know, something like that. And then, like you said, with humor, maybe I'm going to go into the situation and be like, well, this is an opportunity to see, you know, people watching or whatever it is, and kind of look at it in a humorous light, whatever the stressful situation is, to step back.
Yes. And I also want to say, like, if you have a close-knit family, you know, kind of like my mom and my brother would be like, no, you stay with me. No, you stay with me. And now my niece is like, you can stay with me. And my brother would host me. And, you know, you can determine how many days you're going to stay and where you're going to sleep. And one thing that I've arrived at is I finally found a little teeny house off of a winery. And, you know, that's where I can stay because I want to have some downtime away from my family too, because it gets to be too overwhelming. And so for years I would plan, even though I would be home for 2 weeks, I would plan, you know, a day for Big T and I just to go and go to the local yoga studio, or go do some, I'd volunteer to go do some grocery shopping by myself and bring that. So you can get these little moments, whether it's your sleeping arrangement or just scheduling, you know, some moments like, you know, I would just go uptown to the coffee shop for a minute and sit there for an hour just to regroup and make sure you're still connected to yourself.
I love that. I love that, Kim. I think that that's super important because, yes, maybe it's not in your budget to stay in a hotel, but if you can and that helps you with your sanity, or a little Airbnb or something, do that. But also, going for a walk is free.
Yes,
take yourself out. You know, pack your own coffee from home and go for a little walk out in nature, or a little walk in a downtown area and get away. I love that. I think that that's a great way to kind of reset. I had on my list to practice gratitude. I know it's a big part of the season in general. But I think sometimes we can forget, like it slips. And if you can, the times when you need it the most, it's with all things, right? It's with yoga. It's with, with all the things. The time when you're resistant to kind of practicing it is probably when you need it the most. So if you are super stressed, it can be really hard to look at how to be grateful. Maybe you're stressed about money. Maybe you're stressed about, you know, your family. Maybe you're stressed about COVID. Take a moment and try to find some things to be grateful about to help flip that paradigm.
Even if it's a difficult situation, you can be grateful for the presented difficulty because it gives you an opportunity either to determine how much you've healed B, where you still need to heal from, right? So it's giving you opportunities, which we should always be grateful for, an opportunity to learn, to do some self-study.
I think it brings, self-study is the operative word there. A little bit of inner work can do tremendous things. And that leads
to
me.
Agree. I mean, it's not about coming to an agreement on everything mm-hmm. while you're there.
No. But
what about all those being grateful foods that are going to be made?
This one I love because I'm seeing so much of this on social media already. Just being mindful about your eating, but also don't deprive yourself, right?
Right. Yeah, you don't have to be restrictive or save calories. It's okay to overeat a little bit, undereat a little bit, not sample everything, to sample everything. I mean, it's all good. Just listen to your body. And when it says enough is enough, take a pause, listen to it.
And I've been loving the message that no food is bad food unless it, gives you an allergic reaction or your body is intolerant to it. So get the idea that something is bad out of your mind. But also, if you're going to indulge in something that you feel might be too much, maybe it's, the idea I think used to be, or let me say it this way. I used to be, I'm going to eat pie today, or I'm going to eat, holiday dinner. I'm not going to eat breakfast because I'm going to eat dinner, and gorge myself. And what did that do to me? Like, it just made me feel awful, where it's like, no, I'm going to eat my regular healthy breakfast. And then that way I won't be hangry and overfilling my plate when the holiday dinner time comes. And all of the good protein and yummy good stuff that I put in my body with dinner is going to help me metabolize those sweet treats after dinner. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Don't be like, well, I'm not going to eat the turkey because I'm going to have a piece of pie. No, you need the turkey to help properly digest the pie.
Right. So that you don't have a sugar overload. When you pair it with a protein or a fiber, your holiday sweet, it's slowing down how fast it hits the blood system, which then makes it easier for you to digest it. You don't get that spike of mm-hmm. sugar.
And for me, it was really counterintuitive in the past to be like, but no, I'm saving those calories. And it's like, yeah, but then you're going to end up being miserable.
Because when you deprive yourself, you eat around it. You end up eating more calories because mm-hmm. you're eating around what you have a craving for. Where if you just have, mm-hmm. Three or four bites of what you're craving, then that goes away.
Mm-hmm. Or let's say you decide to imbibe an alcohol, and again, if you're thinking about calorie content, well, then I'm not going to eat so that I can drink. Well, that's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Nobody wins in that situation.
Right.
Being mindful with that, not restricting yourself. One of the things that I've been trying to practice even pre-holiday, one of the things that I have, because I do find myself, I'm a busy mom. So sometimes my meal is just eating whatever my toddler doesn't. And it can be really hard to do it that way, is I try to sit down without my phone and without a device in front of me and enjoy at least one meal a day where I am seated, I'm not distracted, and where before I even take my first bite, I have gratitude for the food. And it really has been very helpful to slow me down. And then I just noticed the other benefits of that. Maybe I'm not ravenous at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I did sit down and take the time to eat some food. And I'm teaching my kids by example. What is it teaching them if I never sit down to eat mindfully, or if I sit down to eat with a screen in front of my face? It teaches them to sit down and eat with a screen in front of their face. So sorry, that was like a non-related tangent, but.
Oh no, but I mean, Nick and I do that. We eat, we turn our phones over, and you know, we were out to breakfast and we saw a family of three come in, and all three family members were on their phone. They never interacted with each other the entire time they were at breakfast. And, you know, it's Nick and I's time to connect with each other, even if we just stare at each other blankly or people watching, you know, wherever we are, because, you know, we're just trying to give each other our 100% at the moment.
Yeah. And even when you're alone, that's important.
I think it's important to listen to your body and your breath too, because, you know, all of a sudden, if you find you're holding your breath or your breath is shallow, or maybe you're tensing your body, you know, that's a cue that, you know, somebody's crossed one of your boundaries. And, you know, maybe you need to step away. Maybe you need to reiterate your boundary. Also, if at the end of the day you're exhausted or you wake up exhausted, then perhaps you participated in too many family events. And, you know, you need to take that time to, you know, have some quiet time. During the day.
Absolutely.
My brother and I always would make sure that we called it the slug day. It's the day that we didn't get out of our PJs.
I like that.
And we just hung out together.
I like that. Yeah, we try to do that as well. But I like that name for it. Having that flexibility, one of the things that I wrote down was to be gentle with yourself, which means, like you said, if you wake up knowing that you overdid it the night before, just with energetically, or maybe you've got too much on your plate, be gentle with yourself. What would you tell someone else if they were like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed with da-da-da-da-da-da? You would say, well, what of those things can you eliminate? What things can you not do? How do you, you know what I mean? Like the advice that you would give to someone else would be slow down. Be gentle, take time, cancel that appointment, cancel, you know, the whatever it is, or, you know, find an alternative. Don't go, you know, perhaps your Black Friday shopping should be online. Like whatever it is that you're feeling, being gentle means that you're listening. And so if you can, take a bath instead. Or take a walk instead.
Yeah. I got to tell you, on Black Fridays for the last couple of years, my friend and I scheduled massages together. And it's like crickets in there because there's nobody there. So you can get right in.
That's wonderful.
Do some of those holistic things. And I would just get up early in the morning and do my holiday online shopping because, you know, Nick's a contractor, so he likes Duluth clothing. And so I would just get on early and get him something new that he needed for his contractor wardrobe, and then we'd go for a massage and I would be done.
Nice. I like that. I feel like that's like a little well-kept secret that I didn't know. I'm gonna try that too, getting some body work on Black Friday. Which that brings me to, this is not a mindful tip for the holidays, but I think it's a really important tip for the holidays. If at all possible, instead of buying things, support local businesses, support your local yoga studio, support your local bodywork studio, support the local cafe, all of the people who provide services for your family, for you and your family, that your dollar goes so much further in your local community than it does buying something, you know, online from whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that, buy the gifts that you want. But if you can find things for people that are local or that are, you know, services that is really someone's employment. I think that that's a really great opportunity and a really great way to show your love and affection to people and to get them that massage or that yoga or that body treatment.
Yeah,
or that their favorite restaurant, you know, restaurants have been hit so hard throughout this. If you've got a little mom and pop shop or a coffee shop or, you know, any place that you can support locally, I think it's a really great opportunity to spend your money in that way.
We've lost a third of small businesses through the pandemic. So anything that you can do to support them really means a lot to them and goes a long way. Even finding things that are handmade, even if you hand make it yourself, you know, it has more meaning for people, that care and that love that you've put forth is important, whether you paint them a picture or make them a quilt or, you know, blow a glass ornament yourself. Not only do you get the funness of making it and you get to learn the craft, right? So that art and creativity and joy is good for your spirit, but then you're gifting something from a local business, which is nice too.
And Kim, as you said that, to tie into holiday mindfulness, if you have a hobby that brings you joy and comfort, like painting or quilting or crocheting or knitting, what a great practice to deal with, you know, some of these, the holiday stress.
Well, one of the things that I've learned in my art therapy is that you can buy watercolor cards and then you can watercolor your own cards. And I really enjoyed that process. So I just got some watercolor cards so that I could start to make my own because I love the handwritten card.
I love that.
And people like to get unusual cards. And I'm like, rather than support, you know, like Hallmark or, you know, going to the dollar store to get cards, you can make your own. And so it ends up being a nice win. Some other mindfulness things that I had down is, you know, allow yourself to be in comfy clothes. If you overeat, maybe have some peppermint tea to calm your stomach. Being able to go for walks in nature, like don't forget, like even if it's brisk and kind of snowing or miserable out, just get outside for 15 minutes and go for a little walk. And then to have self-compassion and gentleness for yourself and others.
Yeah.
Because we're all, you know, we're all doing the best. I mean, I think if you are, you reach a certain age and you realize that no one has everything figured out. No one has a perfect life. No one's the expert. You know, we're all just going through life, doing the best that we can. Trying to be the best version of ourselves. And the more that we can support each other and help each other rise, that's the real wisdom.
That is beautifully said. That's beautifully said. And I absolutely agree. And I like to think that even when, you know, the frustrating situations, the stressful situations, maybe even in traffic, you know, the person cut you off, they're still trying to do the best they can. whatever it is, even if, you know, maybe they're distracted with something else. But I like that. I feel like that that kind of compassion goes a long way because there are benefits to you with that kind of compassion. If you can think that, if you can shift your thinking in that way, you benefit so much from that as well, you know, because then your blood pressure is not up and you're not angry and you're not like, there's so many benefits to just,
and you're not stewing about it years later. You spoke your truth in a kind way, the best way that you can. You know, I think my greatest wish for all our courageitarians out there, and I'd like to pose this as your challenge or your intention, is could you have a holiday that comes without a side of guilt or shame? And what would that look like for you?
I love that. That's a nice journal prompt to think about. That's no guilt or shame in the holidays is a big one for yourself or for others. My last bit of advice before we discuss our holiday plans for the podcast, really, really simple. If you can follow these things, drink water, get good sleep, move your body, take your vitamins, wash your hands, try to stay healthy. You know, just do the basic things and take good care of yourself. And if you take good care of yourself, your cup is full to help take care of others. And that can go a long way. A long way. So when this episode drops, it will be post Thanksgiving, but pre Christmas and New Year's, obviously, which is why we wanted to give these tips. But Kim and I had an excellent idea for you Courageitarians, because the next few episodes coming out are related to our series on getting to know me a little bit better and on Kim's cancer journey. We thought that as a gift to you, the listeners, the next two episodes after this one are going to be meditation episodes. So try to remember that if you're used to listening to Where the Lotus Grows in the car. Perhaps choose a different place to listen. But as our gift to you, we want to just give you some guided meditations to help you get through your holidays. And then we are going to take off the week between Christmas and New Year's. And when we come back, we will have an update on how Kim's surgery was and anticipating all the good things there for you, Kim. And, you know, get back into our regular schedule with some exciting interviews and that kind of thing. So I believe this one will come out mid-December. And then the two episodes that you'll get before Christmas are going to be each a meditation from Kim and a meditation from myself that you can listen to at your leisure, maybe even more than once if you're so inclined.
Thank you. I look forward to hearing how everybody's meditations went for them and hearing really from our Courageitarians, like, does holiday tips help you? And how did you create a mindful holiday for yourself and your family?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. So happy holidays, guys. We really appreciate your listenership. We can't do it without you. So we'll catch you in the new year, 2022.
Show notes and resources grow on our website, wherethelotusgrows.com. If you're wanting to engage with the topics we present in a deeper way, it's a great place to go for a more immersive experience and links to pertinent show information. You can also connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or subscribe on our website to get our weekly blog, personalized weekly mantra, and links to listen to the show. We're so grateful for all the reviews, recommendations, membership support, and suggestions that you provide us. As always, our member platform is at patreon.com/wherethelotusgrows. This is where you can go to donate to the show to help keep us going and get a few rewards for your support. Thank you, Courageitarians. We love having you as our Sangha. Until next week. Remember, though we are professionals in our field, the topics discussed and or advice given is general information and not intended as treatment or diagnosis. Please seek the guidance of a medical, integrative health, bodywork, or yoga therapy professional for full evaluation.